Calling all aspiring investment professionals, get a leg up on the competition. Final registration for the August CFA exam ends on May 14th. Register now to secure your spot. The CFA designation is a gold standard in the investment world, opening doors to high-powered careers and impressive salaries. Head over to cfainstitute.org to register. Don't wait. Take control of your finance career today.
Hello, everyone. This is the very first podcast of 2020 of A Guide to EU Financial Politics and Policy Development. I am Josina Kammerling, and I have the great pleasure and honor to have Guillaume Prache, Managing Director of Better Finance, with me to discuss on sustainable value for money, the hot topic of the forthcoming CMU review by the European Commission. Two words together, sustainable and value for money. Sustainable, because without true value for money for final investors, the financial markets will never be sustainable. And it is key to finally, more than 10 years after the crisis, to achieve full transparency and better understanding of what final investors are getting for their money. So just to give a brief overview, Better Finance and CFA Institute collaborated together on their first ever joint task force report on sustainable value for money. It was based on two questionnaires, which we did with our respective member base. And we also had a round table where we got some key figures round the table, really discussing in depth some of the questions that face final clients when they look at investments. What was the major conclusion? And that was perhaps a surprise, perhaps not. But there was a clear alignment between finance professionals and financial users. And that was very useful in this first ever study to see that coming out quite so clearly in the surveys. Now, there were 6 points where we looked at what the issues were facing sustainable value for money. The first one was about how investment managers should have a mandatory duty of care, of which the client should be informed from the very beginning, clearly, what are his costs, what are the pluses and negatives of an investment, and have all the bells and wrinkles clearly explained by a certified and qualified financial advisor. Guillaume, your members, how did they come and look at this first point?
Well, first, thank you, Josina. I'm very happy to participate to this guide by CFA Institute. I think it's very useful. We had this very interesting cooperation, as you mentioned, on sustainable value for money. And I was very struck by the consistency of the replies and positions between the investment analyst professionals that CFA Institute is looking after, and individual investors throughout Europe, which is our constituency. And as you said, the first point is on the duty of care, what is called in EU legislative arena conduct of business rules. And that comes first, and I think that is very key. 11 years after the financial crisis and the drop in the trust of individual investors in finance, in investment products, it is very key. Now we have a unique opportunity with sustainable finance to regain some trust. So let's not destroy it by not putting mandatory duty of care first. I think that's the strongest message. And I'm again very happy it comes not only from the individual investors, but also from the investment professionals, which is very encouraging.
I think also when we look at the duty of care, clearly sustainable investing is the hot topic of the day. It's become very sexy to say that you're green, with, of course, with the possibility of greenwashing. And indeed, this mandatory duty of care is crucial, especially when we look at a fintech environment where it's going to be very easy to invest online. So there should be a separation, perhaps, between online investing, where you go for the lowest cost and hopefully you have everything explained clearly, to where a financial advisor, with his duty of care, really has the responsibility to make sure that you get the right information for your profile. Is that a fair view?
It is a fair view. However, the border between the, I would say, internet-based investing and face-to-face or advisor-directed investing is going to be more and more blurred, especially younger generations. They will tend to take their smartphone to get information, but also some advice. So as you said earlier, I think the very key thing here is to design future information tools, at least, for smartphones, for internet, for tablets, whatever. But at the same time, putting the doing some nudging, as behavioral scientists say, so that people don't get overconfident just on transacting or investing via a smartphone. And that, I think, again, it's a question also of trust. Sometimes, especially when you look at ESG, which is an additional sophistication for investing, it is advisable for most people who are not very knowledgeable in this field to go to a human financial advisor. But in that case, yes, the duty of care is critical.
We at CFA Institute did quite a bit of research on the investment firm of the future. And some of the conclusions from that build into what you have just said. There is a necessity to face change in the industry by exploiting technology, but building also teams that use collective knowledge and diverse teams. So this then builds a far more diversified approach also to the client, doing also more joined up investment thinking. And by, first of all, and I should have said that first, engaging more by identifying really what the client needs and managing to their desired outcome. So that is really a focus client first. Let me also ask you, because you are a member of the high-level CMU group, which has been set up by the EU Commission to reflect on restarting CMU. You are in the retail investor subgroup. Clearly, the Commission is very keen to get the retail investor back. The retail investor has been dragging his feet for the different reasons that we have sort of come upon in the past few words. But what can we still better, and how does this subgroup look at this mandatory duty of care issue?
Yes, this is the CMU stands for Capital Market Union, initiative of the European Union, and to foster retail investments into the real economy as directly as possible via capital market is one of the key objectives. And I think it is very good that the European Commission set up this high-level group to, as you said, to try to restart the process, because so far the achievements are modest, to say the best. And so in this subgroup, you know, without, you know, divulging confidential information, duty of care is one of the most sensitive points. And to name the most sensitive issue is about the conflicts of interest in distribution, the so-called inducements, where there is probably the hottest debate in this group. But this is critical for the CMU. This is critical for sustainable finance and therefore for the future of humanity on this planet, because when you look at the first 4 years of the CMU, it is the more complex, the more packaged, the more commission-laden products that have been on the rise. like life insurance, pension products, and the simplest, more direct products, the most cost efficient, like listed shares and bonds, like investment funds, direct investments by individuals into investment funds, have been at best stable, if not going down. So when you add also the ESG dimension, the environmental social governance dimension, now it really becomes critical to focus on duty of care, on curbing down the reasons for conflicts of interest in the retail distribution, and to make sure we also prevent as much as possible greenwashing.
Exactly. Of course, this report, this joint report of ours, does look at what is happening with ESG. And one of the conclusions we both come to is that investment managers should disclose how they address ESG factors, the how being important in their products of investment, and whether it's being done through mandatory regulation or whether it's through another standard, etc. Greenwashing is important. And then we also come to you referred to the inducements. We have seen the ban of inducements by the FCA and the AFM in the Netherlands. It is a discussion that has been going on for the last 6-7 years, and I think it's time to really come to some kind of solution on this. Again, when we look then at information on costs and fees, it is clear that it's a very varied landscape. Specifically on costs, and we know it, your organization and mine have worked together on PRIIPs with some of the issues on disclosure on costs and the exclusion of past performance. And our report really is quite clear on the fact that the information on the total cost figure should be simple, and that past performance in comparison with a benchmark should be disclosed in pre-contractual documents. Now, of course, we have all these different documents at the moment. We have several KIDs. We have the possibility UCITS KID will be merged into. So the landscape is very varied. Should we come to one document that is simple? Is that possible?
That is a very good point, and I think that's another area which is very much discussed right now, because at the current time there is the upcoming review of the MiFID II directive. There is the review currently of the level 2 of this PRIIPs. It's barbaric acronyms, but package retail insurance based and investment products. Key information document. And so this is crucial. You use the right words. It should be. And in fact, that is the overarching information rules in MiFID II, in MiFID I, which says it must be fair, clear, and not misleading. Unfortunately, and I'm known a bit for sometimes being a bit blunt, but PRIIPs does not currently meet any of these requirements, although again the PRIIPs KID goes exactly in the direction of your question, which was the idea. In fact, at the beginning it was not called PRIIPs, it was called substitutable investment products,
yes,
at the point
right.
of sale. And that is the key thing, is that for an individual investor who comes to the retail point of sale, he can be offered, if I start with the simplest product, a bank saving account, he can be offered an investment fund, he can, in principle, and should be sometimes offered the listed equities or bonds, life insurance, more package products like personal pensions, etc. But so they are substitutable to some extent, not totally, but all to some extent. When I say life insurance, I'm talking about investment-based insurance products, of course, not housing insurance or things like that. And so that was the original aim of PRIIPs, which for now is not achieved. And I think we should at least have the same look and feel for all these documents. Yes, some have their specificities, might require another sheet, another page, but I think there should be the same look and feel. We've been fighting for this. So as you said, currently you have the summary prospectus for listed equities and bonds, which is not standardized, not formatted, which doesn't look at all, doesn't have the same look and feel as
and
other
products.
And
it's not valid legally, the summary prospectus.
And there are some legal weaknesses, let's say. You have the UCITS, KAID, Key Investor Information Document, which is for us the best in class, but is planned to be replaced by the PRIIPs KID in 2 years. You have the PRIIPs KID, where there is no information, as you mentioned, on actual past performance with benchmark, which is key. And if I may, I make a parenthesis on this. This is also key for promoting ESG products or sustainable finance products. Because I think one thing that was also very important in the survey and research done jointly by CFA Institute and Better Finance is that I think, but you correct me if I'm wrong, there was quite a lot of consensus to say that there is no fundamental reason why ESG investment products should be less performing over the long term than, I would say, mainstream ones. So I think as a matter of trust, transparency, simplicity, intelligibility, the actual performance is key on the condition that it is compared to the relevant benchmark. And we always agreed that's the benchmark chosen by the provider. He has an investment objective. So, and this has to be simple itself. The benchmark has to be long-term. And because we're talking about sustainable finance, we're not talking about money market funds or very short-term investment, and has to be against the mainstream market. Why being shy to measure yourself against the mainstream market over the long term? It's much more intelligible for the retail investor than seeing one product which would be benchmark on Mr. So-and-so's low carbon index. The other one will have a child labor index. That will become a nightmare for the individual investor. I like to repeat that individual saving and investing is not a full-time job. And these people have a full-time job. So that is why, yes, we need a simple, clear, and not misleading information document, short. And if not the same for everyone, but I think we could enlarge the scope of the PRIIPs KID to personal pensions, to alternative investment funds, for example. But then the other ones, like listed securities, PEP, and also occupational pensions, should have the same look and feel.
I agree. I think the same look and feel is extremely important in order to get confidence and a retail investor to be more curious about different products. But it is at the same time, and this will be the challenge for ESMA, is to have some kind of granularity still in there, of course. So that is the challenge, the tension between making sure it is clear and it is recognizable with this granularity. So then we come to the ESAS, the European Supervisor Authority. We are both our organizations. We're very much in agreement on the fact that they should be given more powers and competencies in terms of enforcement and product intervention. And CMU as a whole would benefit from a dispute resolution mechanism, such as arbitrage, which was something that was used very effectively in Spain with the preference share scandals, being that under the competence of a European authority for cross-border products. So, Guillaume, is this very far into the future? Is this, as some have said, a sort of ESAS review number 2 or number 3? Where do you think we could be?
You know, Josina, if I'm doing this job, it's because I've always been a very optimistic person. So I think, no, there are short-term opportunities. First, there has been ESAS reform review number 1 just last year. And I'm very happy to see that ESMA is already trying to use the new powers given by this review. So product intervention, not only for stability or systemic risk reasons, but also for investor detriment. And they banned, as you know, binary options and to some extent CFDs last year. And I'm very happy to see that in the ESMA program, there will be for the first time joint mystery shopping inquiries together with NCAs. And that's a new possibility given by the ESA's review. Also, on the other end, there is a project, a regulatory project, on the table of the parliament, which is to eventually get a pan-European collective redress mechanism in case of collective detriment. We are fighting to make sure that investors who are, in fact, financial consumers, they are part of the consumer world, are clearly in the scope of this project. Okay, I know also this kind of project has been fought a lot against in the past, but it is now on the table. I think it's a unique opportunity because trust goes with redress. If there is no, I always say, when people are working on alternative dispute resolution, I tell them, but in financial services, it's alternative to what? There is no pan-European collective redress mechanism in the financial services area, but it is on the table.
Yeah, and it is necessary because if you want investors to venture into the deeper waters, they need to have a safety mechanism. And I think that will be quite clearly one of the new challenges for this new legislation. Guillaume, thank you very much indeed for this conversation. It's lovely to see your optimism after so many years working on this. So that is very encouraging. And I wish you all the joy with the high level group. And we'll wait to hear more about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Very-